Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhaktivedanta ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Giridas Maharaj ki jai, Goprem Anande. Hari means Krishna.
Yeah.
Bol means chant.
Yeah. Since those two are chanting, the name of Hari Krishna.
Go Prem means Lord Chaitanya chants in Prem with love.
Okay.
Anande means with bliss. So chant with bliss, with love. Hari, Hari.
Okay.
The name of Krishna. Okay, so any points from last night?
Yeah, we must serve Lord Krishna, Lord Nityananda, sorry, Lord Chaitanya with the mood of love and Darshan Ras, so that we can get the mood of the big verses.
Good. Any other point?
That pastime of going downhill is where the only place that the three rasas exist simultaneously. And Krishna gets to experience them all at once.
Good. Anything else?
And in the demigod performed the Abhishek of Lord Krishna in the Kund of Gobind Kund. So that's like Chanamrita. So you must read that. From the lotus foot of Lord.
Good. Anything else?
Gobind Kund was performed for two main reasons. One, external, to destroy Indra's pride, and second, internal, Lord fulfill the desire of bringing verses to this Vivek Krishna 7 days, 7 nights.
Good. Anything else?
We should meditate on the pastime of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, childhood pastime mainly, especially Govardhan, all the time. Raising the Govardhan.
Good.
Govardhan is the heart of Krishna. It's very dear to him.
Dive into the service of Lord Chaitanya, you come out on the other end at the shores of
Radha Krishna. Yeah. Any other points?
When Radha comes closer to Krishna, Krishna finally goes on the he starts to shake.
Good. Any other points?
Krishna was the happiest when he was under the government here because he was with all these devotees.
Yeah. Good.
There are always two reasons when Krishna performs his pastimes, internal and external. Even in the case of Lord Chaitanya, the external reason was to spread Krishna consciousness,
yeah,
and the internal reason was to
yeah. Good.
Govardhan expanded himself to occupy the whole of Kunda with billions of cows and millions.
Krishna is always smiling, so that the depression of there should be no depression anywhere in the world. If you remember his smiling face all the time.
He's a nice person.
Govardhan felt like a cotton ball to Krishna. Govardhan at one point of time was swinging around as to the request of Yashoda.
Why did he say? Because it's like an epidemic in Western countries. In spite of so much money and everything, still people are doing suicide. They have nearly everything, all openings, but they they are depressed. So if we bring this to all over the world, then there will be no depression at all. That will help us lose peace.
Good.
Giridhar is the heart of Lord Krishna, and he served Lord Krishna like Lord Chaitanya served Lord Krishna.
Kaliya, the Ananta Sheshanaga wrapped himself around Govardhan to keep the water out.
There are different explanations given how the water stayed out from there.
Krishna saw the Vrishabhasis as his family, and he reassures us that if we rely on him, surrender to him, and love him, he will always protect us. Mm-hmm.
Good.
To go from the mood of awe and reverence to spontaneous bhakti, we need to associate with the past Buddha.
Very good. Okay. So, tonight we'll go into chapter 26. Chapter 26 is called?
Wonderful Krishna.
Wonderful Krishna Ki?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we'll hear a little bit about how Nanda Maharaj is approached by the elderly people in Vrindavan, and they ask, well, they discuss with him, who is your son? Chandan, why are you so late? Don't come late. Oh, that's right, you told me, sorry. I figured. Forgive me. You did tell me that. Okay, so then, now that you're asking Nanda Maharaj, they're discussing with him about Krishna's position. Who is he? He just looked at a hill. 7 days, seven nights. So he's not ordinary. So now there's some discussion. I'm just going on. So. Text number one. Shukadev Goswami said, the cowherd men were astonished when they saw Krishna's activities, such as lifting Govardhan Hill. Unable to understand his transcendental potency, they approached Nanda Maharaj and spoke as follows. Yogi, you want to read the first paragraph?
So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this verse as follows. During Lord Krishna's pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill, the cowherd men simply enjoyed the spiritual bliss of the Lord's activities without analyzing them. But afterwards, when they had returned to their homes, perplexity arose within their hearts. Thus they thought, now we have directly seen child Krishna lift Govardhan Hill, and we remember how he killed Potara and other demons, extinguished the forest fire, and so on. At that time, we thought that these extraordinary acts occurred because of benedictions from the Brahmanas, all because of Nanda Maharaj's great fortune, or that perhaps the boy had achieved the mercy of Lord Narayan and thus was empowered by him.
So what are the points there?
Sometimes when we are in ecstasy, we don't think anything else. We just enjoy. But afterwards the thought comes as to how this wonderful
act
can happen.
Mm.
This is just after thought.
Anything else?
This is one easy time. They don't consider him as a bit of a fire. But then also they always, you know, call him from fire. Not planning for anything, but we know everything. And he is a supreme personality, but then also he thanks so much for asking him for anything.
So what is that called?
Avidya. Avidya.
Avidya, yeah, good. Avidya, or Maya. We are in Maya.
Illusion.
Yeah. We don't rely on Krishna. We don't understand Krishna will take care of everything.
Sometimes we have doubts.
Sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes we stop chanting our rounds because we think that we don't have faith that Krishna will take care of everything. So. Any other point? So, this is the mood of Vrindavan. So we're hearing about Braj Bhakti. Braj Bhakti means the highest level of bhakti. The bridge bhasis may be considered from an external point of view to be very simple-hearted people. And they are very simple-hearted people. But then sometimes they'll be misjudged. Just like when Krishna went to Mathura, which you'll go to this year, we'll study how Krishna goes to Mathura later in the year. And then he goes to Dwarka. So people in Dwarka and Mathura, then they think the bridge bhasis are more simple. Because from a social position in the Varnashram system, they're considered to be Vaishyas. So Vaishyas are more simple than the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas. We saw in the previous couple of chapters, a few chapters ago, that the wives of the Brahmanas, they wanted to have association with Krishna. But Krishna would not allow it in that body of being a Brahmani or a Jagyapatni. They had to become, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, that the Brahmanis, they had to take birth as gopis to have intimate association with Krishna, otherwise it is not possible. Because Krishna is only approached by those who are in the correct mood and who have the proper qualification and the correct form to associate with him. So he takes on the form of a cowherd boy. So because he takes the form of the cowherd boy, you have to be in the cowherd community to have intimate association with him. Otherwise it's difficult to associate with him in Vrindavan. So externally they may be judged as being very simple, but actually that they're the most elevated of all devotees. And the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is to establish this single point, that of all the devotees, the greatest devotee is the gopis, the bridge bhasis, and then ultimately it is Srimati Radharani. That's the hidden. That will come out in the pastimes of the Rasa Lila and the Brahma Gita. Like that. We'll see Radharani's supreme position is established. That's the entire purpose of the Bhagavatam in one sense. Krishna is the supreme lord, but who is the supreme devotee? It is Srimati Radharani. So the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, which is spoken by Parikshit Maharaj to his mother Uttara. So the Bhagavatam is spoken 7 days and seven nights. We know the story. So we're hearing the Bhagavatam at the moment. And then at the end, when it's finished, then his mother Uttara, she approaches Parikshit Maharaj and she says, "Now please tell me, what did you just hear?" And he said, "I don't have time. I can't explain all this to you." So he said, "Then please summarize it." So the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita is the summary of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it gives the essential points of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, in the pastime of Gopal Kumar, as he's traveling through the universe, it establishes that of all the devotees, the bridge bhasis are the best. And then of the bridge bhasis, it establishes the gopis are the best. And then of the gopis, it establishes Srimati Radharani is supreme. So that is the conclusion. So all of this is simply leading us to this point, to understand the supremacy of the bridge bhasis. Mm. So what is their special qualification? That they can associate with Krishna on the most intimate platform. Even those in Dwarka and Mathura cannot associate as intimately with Krishna. There is more of a conception of his Aishwarya. Mm. So God is understood on the platform of Aishwarya and Madhurya. So Aishwarya means?
Opulence.
And Madhurya means?
Conjugal.
No, means sweetness. Sweetness. Madhu means honey. So Madhurya means sweetness. In Vrindavan, the Aishwarya is enveloped or overwhelmed by the sweetness. Actually, Vrindavan is the most opulent place. It is more opulent even than Dwarka and Mathura. I mean, the opulence there is incredible. I mean, we can't even imagine how opulent it is. But it has a natural setting, whereas Dwarka is more like a city. But Vrindavan is rural. So it may appear to be more simple, but actually it's more opulent. If we go there, hopefully one day if we go there, it is supremely opulent. But the mood there is that even though it is the most opulent place, everyone is overwhelmed by Madhurya. In other words, by Krishna's sweetness. So they don't consider or they don't place importance or they don't focus upon the Aishwarya. Even though Krishna is showing so much Aishwarya in Vrindavan, he just lifted a heel for 7 days, seven nights. So that is Aishwarya, just defeated the king of the Devatas. So that is Aishwarya, that is power. But even amongst, even in the midst of that entire pastime, where Krishna is under the hill, showing incredible Aishwarya, right, incredible potency, but still everyone's not absorbed in that. Right? We heard yesterday under the hill, everyone's absorbed in Madhurya. Right? They're joking with him, they're feeding him, they're telling him to put the hill down. Even the cowherd boys say, just give it to me for a while, I'll hold it. Subal and the other boys say, just let me hold it for a while. Yeah? You rest, then when you're ready, you come back and then you swap arms or like that. So they're speaking to Krishna in the most intimate way. So even though they're under the hill and Krishna is showing so much power, but they're not absorbed in that aspect of his personality. So that is the speciality of the bhakti of the residents of Vrindavan, the Madhurya bhakti or the Prema bhakti. It is the topmost. It is not tinged by Aishwarya. When Krishna goes to Mathura and Dwarka, it is his expansion, Vasudev Krishna. And that expanded form of Krishna, who goes to Mathura and Vrindavan, the devotees there, they have a mixed conception of Madhurya. It is sweet. He has sweet pastimes. But it is still very much conscious of his supremacy, his Aishwarya. For in Vrindavan, that does not take place. The acharyas explain, just like when you're boiling the milk, sometimes in the village, the pieces of hay or straw or grass, they may come up while you're boiling the milk. So then it comes up and then they scoop it off and they discard it. So similarly, the Brijbasi, sometimes when their love becomes intensified, like when Indra is sending all the rain and they're in distress, what do they say? Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. And they call out to Krishna. Rama, Rama. And they call out to Krishna and Balarama. So at that time, it's like when the straw comes up in the milk, then just in that intensity, that feeling that, oh, he is supreme, that comes up in their consciousness. But then as soon as he begins to perform the pastimes, then that kind of just disappears again. So they do not live in that conception. Or in other words, sometimes they know he's God, or they know he's God-like, because Gargacharya has said to them that he is practically as powerful as Narayana, which means he's practically as powerful as God himself. He is God himself, practically. But they don't pay so much attention to that, or they don't become absorbed in that. No? Simple example in this world is like if your friend is Bill Gates, who is the world's richest man. But for his friends, I don't see him exactly like, oh, he's the world's richest man. They're aware of that, but they just have more intimate dealings with him. So anyone who's very powerful or very famous, if you're an intimate friend, then you just deal with the person like that. You don't become distracted by their opulence. So in the same way the Brijbasis, they don't become distracted by Krishna's opulence. They just see him as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They see him as being their friend, or their son, or their lover. And he's the Supreme Lord, then that's wonderful also. That's why the chapter is called Wonderful Krishna. That's wonderful. He happens to be so powerful. But he's our friend. So this pastime, where they're speaking like this, it takes place in Nandagram. Has anyone been to Nandagram in Vrindavan? You been there? Yeah, so you go to Nandagram, and there's a place down the hill. It is called Nandabaitak. So at that place, Nanda Maharaj used to meet with the Brijbasis. It was like the court room, but it was outside. Because, you know, we're inside a lot of the time. It's actually nicer just to live outside on a Hare Krishna farm. That is better than living in the city somewhere. It is, it's better. You know, you can live outside and you can have your meetings outside. So, you know, we go into boardrooms and we're, you know, always inside. But it's much more stimulating and satisfying for the senses to be outside. So they would just meet outside. And the baitak means they'd have some like mandap and they would go under there and they would speak. So then the elderly cowherd men, after this pastime, they're saying to Nanda Maharaj, just saying, you have to be careful how you deal with him. You chastise him and you rebuke him and you can do anything like that. You have to be careful. We don't know. He may be, well, he is a great demigod or something. And we don't want to offend him. Nanda Maharaj just begins to laugh. And he said, you can say he's this and you can say he is that. But the fact is, when the at night time when the lightning and the thunder in the sky, he runs into my room and jumps into my bed. Right. And if he's such a great yogi, like some people are saying he's a great yogi, he's a great, you see. So if you're a great yogi, you can control your senses. He can't control his senses at all. Right? He's always eating sweets and, you know, he has no sense control. You know, you give him one sweet, he wants another one. You give him another one, he wants another one. Right? And if you say he's a great demigod, then great demigods have good moral behavior. But he's known for being a thief and a liar. So then how can we consider that he is such a great personality? Right? Right? He's always being accused of stealing, and we even catch him sometimes. And then when you ask him, you say, why have you been stealing? He said, I wasn't stealing. He lies. He tells you straight on your face, I wasn't there. He said, I wasn't even in the area. I don't know why everyone's always complaining about it. I haven't even been there. I didn't take anything. We read earlier, last year, that we go to the bridge busy's houses and he would steal stuff. Sometimes he'd go there, there was nothing to steal. So then he would come out, and as he was walking out, they would chase him with sticks, say, hey, get out of here. All right, don't come in our house and steal. And he'd stand out the front and he said, there's nothing there to steal anyway. So what's your problem? And he said, tomorrow I'm going to come back, and if there's not something there for me to steal, I'm going to burn your house down. Right? And sometimes he spits on the ground, he goes, and then he walks off.
You're near something.
Yeah, then he goes in, and then if he can't find something, then on the way out he pinches the babies. Right? He pinches them, and they start crying like that. And then he urinates on the ground. Right? And then he leaves, walks out. So Nanda Maharaj said, and you say, this is God. It's also the pastime. Lord Chaitanya was even more naughty than Krishna. You know, there's one pastime, I think Chaitanya Mangala, that's in one of the books. So then he goes to see Murari Gupta. You know that pastime?
Yeah.
Yeah, Murari Gupta is a famous physician in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Murari Gupta is none different from Hanuman. So he walks in there because Murari does not understand that he is the Supreme Lord. So he wants to get Murari's attention, so he walks in. And he's always arguing with Murari. Murari Gupta used to give classes. And Lord Chaitanya would sit down the back while he was giving class. So he'd give class and he would make a point and he'd go like, he'd say, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and Lord Chaitanya is down the back. He was Nimai Pandit, who's like a young boy. And you know, he'd say, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And he'd be down the back, he'd go, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He's the Supreme Lord. So he would always make fun of Murari Gupta. Now imagine you're giving class to someone down the back, and he's going, oh, everything you say. You say, you make a point, and he goes, wow, I love this. So he was continuously being mischievous towards Murari Gupta. And Murari Gupta would chastise him, don't you come to my classes. Don't come, you always cause disturbance. Yeah. Who do you think you are? Like that. And he said, Murari, you know who I am. Yeah. You can see who I am. I am supreme. Murari would say, whoa, what do you say? So one time Murari's take prasadam, he walks in and he says, Murari, like a small boy, he says, Murari, I am here. Yeah. And Murari just ignores him, just keeps taking prasad. So then he passes water on his prasadam and urinates on his prasadam. Right? This is like the most mischievous behavior you can have. You know, we can't even think of how mischievous Chaitanya Nimai is. So Krishna is like this, a very, very mischievous boy. So they're saying to Nanda Maharaj, say, you have to be very careful. Nanda Maharaj says, no, I'm not going to take any of this. Don't you tell me that my son is my son, and don't you tell me that I should treat him with great respect. Right? If I don't chastise him and look after him properly, he will not turn out properly. So he will not back down. Nanda Maharaj will not break his prema or his love. Even it says in the previous chapters, when we went back to when Krishna ate the earth, last year we were going through that pastime. So Krishna takes the earth, and Mother Yashoda said, open your mouth. And so he opens the mouth, and she looks in, she sees the universe. But then she has so much love for him as a son, she cannot accept that. So he closes her eyes. She said, no, this could not be. And she opens her eyes and she sees again. And then her prema is so strong, she drives away that Aishwarya. That Krishna cannot stay like that. And then when she looks in the mouth again, it's all normal again. Because that love is so strong that Krishna does not. And we see in the next few chapters, in the five chapters from now, the famous pastime where Krishna leaves the Rasa Lila. And then Radharani and the gopis are looking for him. And the gopis come and then he takes the form of Narayan. But when Radharani comes, even though he's in the form of Narayan, then Srimati Radharani, she cannot reciprocate with him like that. So she forces him to turn back into Shyamasundara, back into his two-armed form as a cowherd boy. She forces him. By the strength of the love. So Krishna is Sri Krishna Kashani. He's controlled by the strength of the love of the Brijbasis. So the whole Bhagavatam is leading to this point now. That Krishna is controlled by the Brijbasis. Even Prabhupada explained, he becomes like a dancing puppet in the hand of the Brijbasis. Their love is so powerful. They completely controls. So this is the highest love. When God is seen as a equal, or even as a subordinate, just like the those in Vatsalyaras, Mother Yashoda, they see him as being dependent upon. That's how powerful the love is for Krishna. So, any points?
I was listening to one lecture, Swami Maharaj, who was telling that jnana is like a ladder. We should climb to the, we should reach to our destination through the ladder, like a jnana. But as soon as we reach to our destination, we should take that. We should not carry that ladder all the time.
Because, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they wanted him like a child. Their love was like their own son. And that's why the Mayomaya covered everything up so that they don't forget that, you know, that prema. And she made them God forget so that they just love Krishna like a little baby for child. This is all the work of
Good. Okay, so read the rest of the purport. So, Chaitanya, we read the first paragraphs of the rest of it.
But afterwards, when they had returned to their homes, perplexity arose within their hearts. Thus they thought, now we have directly seen Chai Krishna leave Govardhan Hill. And we remember how he killed Putana and other demons.
Second paragraph
to the first text. Second paragraph.
Verse 1.
Text 1. Second paragraph.
But all these presumptions are false, sorry. Because an ordinary 7 years old boy could never hold up the king of the mountains for 7 whole days, Krishna is not a human being. He must be the Supreme Lord himself. You read?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, child Krishna loves it when we hold him, and he becomes morose when we his ankles, and when we just simply worldly her men don't give him attention. He appears to become hungry and thirsty, steals yogurt and milk, sometimes plays tricks, tells lies, chatters childishly, and tells the child. If he is actually the Supreme Lord, why would he do these things? Don't they indicate that he is an ordinary human child? We are totally unable to establish the truth of his identity. Therefore, let us go and inquire from the highly intelligent king of Braja, Nanda Maharaj, and then shall free us from our doubts. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the cowherd men thus made up their minds, and then they entered Nanda Maharaj's great assembly hall and questioned him as described in the following verse.
Any points there?
This assembly hall is the same as Nandabhata?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There's different assembly halls which are there. Nandagram is, it's like, how do you say it? It's like a huge wall. The Bhagavad Vashana is the four heads of Lord Brahma, and Nandagram, if you've been there, it's one hill, which is the head of Lord Shiva. So at the bottom of the hill there's a big, big, big wall. And then as you go up onto the hill, then there's 7 walls that you have to pass through, 7 gates. There's, you know, different defense. So if you go back to the spiritual world, it's like that. You have to go through the different gates. There's nothing in the spiritual world that can attack. It's just that feeling of creating safety for Krishna and opulence. So the Baitak is like down, further down the hill. But then there's also assembly hall up in the top of the hill in the palace where Krishna lives up there also. The palace is a huge palace, and it's full of courtyards, and it's very very open and airy, and there's trees growing inside it. Supremely opulent. Animals, how do you say, like parrots and everything flying around.
I thought Himalaya is the king of mountains.
What's that?
I heard Himalaya is the king of mountains,
but
it's the king of mountains.
Yeah, Govardhan is the king.
Not Himalaya.
Is it okay?
Yes, it has to be.
Yeah, Govardhan is the king. Okay, any other points? Okay. The cowherd men said, since this boy performs such extraordinary activities, how could he warrant a birth among worldly men like us, a birth that for him would seem contemptible?
An ordinary living being cannot avoid unpleasant circumstances, but the Supreme Controller can always make perfect arrangements for his pleasure.
What are the points there?
Lord Krishna is capable of doing anything. Nothing is impossible for him.
Yeah. Anything else?
He's so humble. He's so humble.
Yeah. Any other points?
He's loving.
Yeah, the point which the purport is making, the verse is making, is that Krishna is not a part of this world. So when he comes into this world, he has nothing to do with it. When we come into this world, we're attached, and because of our attachment, it binds us to this world. What is the one thing that keeps us in this world? There's desire. We have a desire to stay attached in this material world. Jayato Vishayan Pumsam Sangaste Shupajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama. So karma, karma means desire. There's desires only that keep us in the material world. There's desire that takes us out of the material world. So we're bound in this material world because we have material desires by association with this material energy. That's why you have to be very careful about associating with the material energy, because it creates desires, samskaras in your consciousness. It's like today I went to visit my grandmother. She's 89, very old. So I went to visit her. She's staying nearly an hour up north of Melbourne, where I grew up. So I went to see her. She's in a home. And then I walked in there. So she's got the television on. You know, she's got nothing to do all day. The television on. I was only there for, spent about an hour with her. But then, you know, the television's on. So then, you know, it leaves impressions in your consciousness, samskaras. And then that breeds desires. So, and then I was thinking, you know, she's like literally going to leave her body, you know, 89, so, you know, 1 year, 2 year, 5 years left, not long. So then, but it's the impressions which are coming into the consciousness. They just give rise to another birth within this material world. You have to be very careful about your association because it breeds desire. Sangat sajayate karma. So if you associate with the material energy too closely and you allow those desires to come into your consciousness, then you develop material desires. So therefore we have to associate with the Bhagavatam. You know, because by associating with the Bhagavatam, then spiritual desires, spiritual samskara, by hearing about Krishna's pastimes, it leaves an impression on our consciousness. And then we develop a spiritual desire. I want to go to Krishna. That desire should be there in the heart. I want to be with Krishna again. To the point where it becomes intense. just like if you read the Shat Goswami Ashtika, Prabhupada used to sing it actually just here in this room. Prabhupada would sit in this room, play his harmonium, just there. And Prabhupada would sing that song. Devotees were downstairs. Common Prabhu says they were downstairs. They could hear Prabhupada up here by himself chanting the Shat Goswami Ashtika. Vandeyrupa Sanatana Raghu Jugo Shri Jeev Gopalako. So the last verse was very famous. Prabhupada would quote, Hey Radhe Braja Devi Ke Chalalite Hey Nanda Suno Kuta. Kuta means where are you now? Where are you now? Right? Shigova Dana. Are you on the bank of, are you on the side of Govardhan Hill? Are you on the bank of the Jamuna? Are you at Vamshivat? Where are you now? Kuta means where? Where are you? But intensely they were calling. Hey Rad, hey Radhi, Radharani, where are you? Braja Devike, hey Lalite, hey Lalita, where are you? Hey Nanda Suno, hey son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you now? So those desires must become strong in our consciousness. That we actually feel separation from Krishna. If you don't feel separation, you can't go back to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya came to teach us bhakti in the mood of vipralamba, which means separation from Krishna. And we can say, well, that's advanced. Okay, it is. But then, at what point do we become advanced? Now, what year is it now? What year is it?
2017.
Yeah, 2017. So we'll say, you know, devotees will say, oh, you know, I'll become advanced or serious in Krishna consciousness, really serious, 2030. But then what's wrong with 2017? You can become serious now in Krishna consciousness. Cultivate these desires now. Not artificially, but still they must be cultivated. We should desire to be with Krishna again. That should be the main desire in our consciousness. So the Bhagavatam teaches, if you go right back, I think around about third canto, the Bhagavatam teaches that Stri Sangha, or association with the opposite sex, is what keeps us bound in this material world. Right? Your attachment to the opposite sex. But then the Bhagavatam says you must replace that with attachment to Mahatmas. Advanced devotees, which means the spiritual masters, the advanced Vaishnavas. You replace that material attachment with this spiritual attachment. And by becoming attached to the gurus, to the advanced devotees, that attachment will lead us to develop attachment for Krishna, the Shraya Vigraha. So we have to develop that, cultivate that. Don't cultivate or don't feed or don't nourish the material desires. Let them dry out. Don't put water on them. Let them dwindle and die over time. Jayapataka Swami gave a nice example many years ago. He was giving class here. So like when the Ganges floods, when it floods, all the plants die because they're underwater, they're submerged. So he said, similarly, if you want to destroy your material desires, you have to absorb yourself so much in Krishna. Just like when the Ganga floods, everything just becomes Ganga. So he said that our life should become, everything just becomes Krishna. So much so that all your material desires, they have to die because nothing can live in the water. That's all the plants, all the weeds of material desire, they die. So absorb yourself in hearing and chanting and serving Krishna. And by doing that, then it will all dissipate. So it's being explained here, Krishna is not in this world. He's not touched by the material energy. We are touched by the material energy because of our desire to stay in the material world. But Krishna is not. When he comes to the material world, there's nothing mundane about his lila. Materialistic people, they see his lila as being mundane. Oh, look, it's just maituni bhav. It's just attraction between the sexes. Like that. But it is not attraction between the sexes. So far, all the way through, up until now we're in chapter 26, only one chapter spoke directly about his pastimes with the gopis, chapter 21, the Venu Gita. Everything else, it's hidden. Because Shukadeva Goswami is not going to put it out in public. Actually, it describes that when he was speaking, Shukadeva Goswami was speaking, he was looking around. All the sages were, Prakshit was there, but all the sages were there. Some of the sages were smiling. When he begins to speak the Rasa Lila, but in a mundane way. You know, they're like smoking them, so just look. Krishna is with the girls now. So when Shukadeva Goswami, you can see they're not qualified. That's why he doesn't go into details. He speaks about it, but he does not go into detail. The details are in the purports. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and the others, they give the details. He does not speak it because he says they are not qualified to understand. So we must understand, as Prabhupada has explained to us all through, that we cannot see Krishna as a mundane personality. Right? His pastimes are completely free. They're amala. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. It is Vaishnava Priya, the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's dear to the Vaishnavas. Why? Because it is Amala Purana. Amala means pure, spotless. There's nothing defective within it. So much so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was the strictest sannyasi, he rejected Chota Haridas. Right? Rejected him. Why did he reject him?
Because he looked at the girl who lost
him. Yeah, who did he look at? An old woman. Right? The devotee said to him, go and get some rice for Lord Chaitanya's lunch. So he went to one Mataji, older Mataji, but something happened in his mind. Some lust was there because he's associating with the woman. And Prabhupada makes the point, you have to be very careful. Right? So something was in the mind. Some thought came. So he brought the rice back, they cooked for Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was having lunch. And he said, where did this rice come from? Said, Chota Haridas went and collected it. He said, okay, finished lunch. Then he called him. And he said, you act like you're someone in the renounced order of life, but you lustfully you look at the women. He said, I don't want your association anymore. And go. So he banished him. Sent him away. Right? So Lord Chaitanya was the strictest sannyasi. So strict on these points. Much more strict than anyone can be in Kali Yuga. So then, even though he was the strictest person, but all night he would speak about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. with Ramananda Roy and Sarup Damodar and Shikimahiti, and Shikimahiti's sister was outside listening. So even though he was the most, he renounced material sense gratification to the highest degree, but he was completely absorbed in Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, gopi bhav. It says in the song of the six Goswamis, which Prabhupada used to sing, so they were all absorbed in gopi bhav, following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is in the mood of gopi bhav. It said that Lord Chaitanya, when he went to Gaya, and then before that he was Nimai Pandit, but he went to Gaya and then he came back, and then he became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in due course of time. Then he took initiation. When he became a sannyasi, he became Sri Krishna Chaitanya. But when he came back and he started the Sankirtan movement, then everything he spoke about was just related to Krishna. And all the teachings, that when he was teaching grammar to his students, it was all related to Krishna. And it said that he was so mad in ecstasy, sometimes he would just be sitting there and he'd just be chanting, Gopi, 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 Gopi. Just like we chant, Hare Krishna, he would just chant, Gopi, 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 Gopi. In ecstasy, in full absorption. So that was the level that Lord Chaitanya was absorbed in. So we have to understand Krishna's intimate pastimes with the gopis, which are taking place all through this section. If you read Ananda Brindavan Champu and the other books, then you understand the gopis are very much present at this point, but they're not being spoken about directly. Then all of this pastime with Krishna and the gopis and everything in Krishna is not mundane. It's completely transcendental. So this verse is describing like that.
You mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very strict in following sannyasa, and he rejected Chota Haridas because he just looked at the woman with lusty desire. But how he gave his mercy to Jagai and Madhai, they were lowest. So he was very strict with Chota Haridas Thakur, but he was very merciful to Jagai and Madhai.
Yeah, because they changed. He didn't give mercy until they changed, that's the point. He was about to kill them. Mm. It's a chakra manifest. He was about to kill them. Mm. But when they changed, then he said, okay. So until their mood changed, he would not give them mercy. He wanted to kill them. Lord Nityananda said, don't kill them. And then when they fell down and they changed, then Lord Chaitanya, he said, okay, now I will accept them. But he said to them, he said, one condition, he said, you never do it again. He said that to them. He said, I forgive you, but never do it again. And then they followed strictly from that time. So, any other point?
I heard that Sudeva Goswami didn't speak about the gopis and Radharani because he would have himself gone into so much ecstasy that he could have completed the problem.
Yeah. Says that in Brihat Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
And maybe also because Sukadeva Goswami had a goal to get Maharaj Parikshit back to Godhead, and so that was irrelevant for his journey back to Godhead to talk about Radharani and everything. So short time, 7 days, day and night.
Yeah.
So he was very focused to make sure that he gets all the help to go back to Godhead rather than discussing other subjects which were not directly related to going back to Godhead.
Mm.
As you said, our desire to stay material world, that's what keeps us. And
yeah.
Krishna summarized the same thing. Nirman moha, jitsanga dosha, adhyat nitya vivrati kama, dande vimukta sukutuka sangeet, gachanti mola padma vayantar. So we are without moha, nirman moha, jitsanga. And if we associate with only devotees, excluding non-devotees, jitsanga. Adhyat nitya, always meditating on Krishna. Krishna summarized everything, whatever is in Bhagavatam, is given Bhagavad Gita. So in purport, Srila Prabhupada, we can understand. He has given a purport of nearly 3 pages, 1155 verses. So the same mood is there. And we have to remove all these desires. If we want to give over to Krishna, we must desire only one thing. Ek ek purnam.
Good.
So one thing I don't understand is when Sukadeva Goswami was directing to Bhagavatam, after that, immediately his snake came and he bit the Parikshit Maharaj. So when did Bhagavatam was spoken?
In between.
There was
some time in between.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Just on the point of what we read after, the Supreme Control can make perfect arrangements for pleasure. Actually, Krishna is absolute. I was reading one of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam verses where, you know, how Krishna is considered, is seen as a thief, and a thief, we are celebrating the fact that he's a thief, but we don't actually praise an actual thief, because in the material world is duplicity. So we don't praise a thief who has actually done some, you know, robbing or someone like that. And here we are actually, whatever he does is in perfect arrangement. So there's no duplicity at all.
Our Guru Maharaj said that he's not a thief. Everything belongs to him anyway.
He's actually a good person. Okay. How could this 7-year-old boy playfully hold up the great hill Govardhan with one hand, just as a mighty elephant holds up a lotus flower? As a mere infant, who had hardly yet opened his eyes, he drank the breast milk of the powerful demon Putana, and then sucked out her very life air as well, just as the force of time sucks out the youth of one's body. Once, when only 3 months old, little Krishna was crying and kicking up his feet as he lay beneath a huge cart. Then the cart fell and turned upside down simply because it was struck by the tip of his toe. At the age of 1, while sitting peacefully, he was taken up into the sky by the demon Trinavarta. The baby Krishna grabbed the demon's neck, causing him great pain, and thus killed him.
The coward man who loved Krishna as an ordinary child were astonished by all his activities. A newborn infant cannot ordinarily kill the powerful witch, and one would hardly think that a 1-year-old baby could kill a demon who had kidnapped him and carried him up into the sky. But Krishna did all of these wonderful things, and the coward men were enhancing their love for him by remembering and discussing his activities.
So the Bridge Busters is showing us the goal of Krishna consciousness, which is to always remember Krishna.
Never
forget. So there are 9 items of bhakti: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Krishna Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Now, of the 9, which are the most important?
Hearing.
Yeah, the first 3. Right? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Because Krishna, or it is said, Vishnu Purana says, always remember Krishna. That is Smaranam. So that is the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement, to always remember Krishna, mamana bhavama bhakto, right? That is smaranam. But how do you come to smaranam? By shravanam and kirtanam, right? So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. The most important angas are shravanam and kirtanam. You must hear about Krishna, which is what we're doing. What we're hearing about him. So I'm preparing for the class today. So I'm reading about Krishna. Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Gopal Champu, Krishna Chakravartaka's commentaries. So you hear about Krishna. And now, were chanting about Krishna, glorifying, kirtan, kirti. Now what does the word kirti mean?
Glorification,
yeah. The glories, kirti, means kirti vardhana, one who is famous. So, kirtan means to glorify. So Prabhupada says that, actually he was marked, he said that he was marked by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his Guru Maharaj. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, yes, I've marked him. He likes to hear. Enthusiastic to hear. That is the first item of bhakti, shravanam. Right? If we want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to be enthusiastic to hear. Prabhupada said with rapt attention. That's how our Krishna consciousness awakens. You must hear from realized devotees. And by hearing, then Krishna consciousness awakens. And Prabhupada said, because I was enthusiastic to hear, now I'm enthusiastic to chant, to preach. So this is the process, shravanam, kirtanam. Right? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching in the Chaitanya Bhagavata, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Lord Chaitanya's teachings are Vaishnava Seva, Nama Ruchi, and Jiva Daya. Right? So Nama Ruchi means to get a taste for chanting. You'll only get a taste for chanting when you get a taste for hearing. You'll only get a taste for hearing when you have a taste for chanting. So the two are symbiotic, which means they're like intertwined or irreplaceable. You can't have one without the other. And you see this. If devotees chant, but they neglect hearing, they may lose enthusiasm for chanting. And if they hear and neglecting chanting, right, then they'll lose enthusiasm. That's why Prabhupada gave us the morning programs. Every day we have to do both. We do kirtan. Right? And then we have Bhagavatam class. You have to have both in the process. So every day, if you can't come to the Bhagavatam class in the temple every day, then make sure you're hearing Bhagavatam every day. Like I've said to you many times, practically every day since I became a devotee. I get up in the morning, first thing I do is put on my MP3. Well, now it's like a little stick. What's it called now? A little thing, USB or whatever it's called, a little thing, you press, and then, a little speaker. Well, that's a good thing now about Kali Yuga, the technology is advanced. Just first thing I do is get up in the morning, right? Wake up, offer obeisances to the guru, go into the bathroom, and then turn on the sound, Shravana, Shabda Brahma, transcendental sound, and just listen. Yeah, and by nature, I have good karma, I'm slow at everything. Right. So it takes me about 40 minutes in the morning from when I get up until taking a bath, completely dressed. But because I'm slow, my wife can do it in half the time. Right. She always criticizes me, you're so slow, you take so long. I say, okay, that's fair. But then the other side is that I hear for twice as long. I take time. That's just my nature. I'm slow by nature, but then I listen. So then by the time I start chanting my rounds, I've already listened for half an hour, 40 minutes to lecture. So then by shravanam, hearing, it fixes the mind. Then when you chant, it helps you to fix your mind on the chanting. So that is the process. So by shravanam, kirtanam, then comes smaranam. Vishnu smaranam, which means Krishna smaranam. By hearing and chanting, then the goal is to remember Krishna. So that's what all this pastimes are for. The cowherd men are recapping Krishna's pastimes. He killed Putana. And he lifted the hill. He killed Chakadasura. He killed Trinavata. Who is he? They're just speaking about him, speaking about him, speaking about him, absorbing the consciousness in him. Once, his mother tied him up with ropes to a mortar because she had caught him stealing butter. Then, crawling on his hands, he dragged the mortar between a pair of Arjuna trees and pulled them down. Another time, when Krishna was tending the calves in the forest together with Balaram and the cowherd boys, the demon Bakasura came with the intention of killing Krishna, but Krishna seized this inimical demon by the mouth and tore him apart. Desiring to kill Krishna, the demon, Vatsa, disguised himself as a calf and entered among Krishna's calves. But Krishna killed the demon and, using his body, enjoyed the sport of knocking kapita fruits down from the trees. Together with Lord Balaram, Krishna killed the jackass demon and all his friends, thereby securing the safety of the Talavan forest, which abounded with fruit ripened palm fruits. After arranging for the mighty Lord Balaram to kill the terrible demon Pralamba, Krishna saved Braj's cowherd boys and their animals from a forest fire. Krishna chastised the most poisonous serpent Kaliya, and after humbling him, he drove him forcibly from the lake of the Jamuna to Fiji. In this way, the Lord made the water of that river free from the snake's powerful poison. So we'll stop there for tonight. Then next Monday we'll finish the chapter. A wonderful Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan ki jai. Gandhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Nitai Gopremo Nune.